You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
On this episode, we're going to wing it, guys. It's going to be fine. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. The show is live, ladies and gentlemen. This show is done live every week.
Every week.
And I'm Travis.
And that is Travis. He is our humble announcer slash a stumbler of words.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. I got so much stuff done in the pre-show. I was so hyped for the pre-show. That I wasn't ready to go live. But did you introduce yourself, Brandon?
I didn't. I am Brandon, also stumbler of words, lots of ums and ahs and
the master. But yeah, we're here to bring you another episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, coming live to you over the airwaves every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. YouTube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. We're live in an event now. So every Monday is an event.
An event.
This is event television, you guys.
Huh.
Don't miss it. You got to be there. And then you can also follow along throughout the rest of the week over on the social internet, over on Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Jogomino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. You can follow us on Facebook if you're into that sort of thing. No pressure going to Facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us an email. Let us know you're listening. Hit us with topic suggestions, questions, comments, apathetic
concerns,
enthusiasm show.
Goals, ambitions, desires, wants,
needs. Send us your grocery lists. Let us know your wish list on Amazon.
That's right.
We're not going to buy you anything, but we're curious.
Send us your shipped account. I'll send you a little tub of the sour cream and onion.
I might have to take on that. apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. That's the email. Instagram is apathetic_enthusiasm. And of course, on the internet, apatheticenthusiasm.com. That's where you can find this podcast and all of our other podcasts. We have other podcasts. We have invisible Sprite cans on the stream. You can also buy our love a couple of different ways. You can go to our T Public page. apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop is the easiest way to get to our curated t-shirts. You can also get t-shirts with our cartoon faces on them, or go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get content like the pre-show that we just recorded. You get access to special podcasts.
Woo!
It's on random beef stick reviews. all of the hard-hitting stuff you can only get behind that glorious paywall at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to all
Thank
of our
you.
Patrons.
Thank
Brandon, how you feeling? You feeling good? You feeling loose? You fired up? You ready to make a podcast?
If I had nipples, they would be diamond. But I lost them in a fateful accident.
I very nearly did a spit take on lots of equipment right here. It would have been very bad. Almost iced tea just everywhere. Sorry to hear about your nipple situation.
I'm not as sensitive about it anymore. My nipples aren't as sensitive about it anymore.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad they are what they are.
Yeah. I don't usually talk about that piece of my life. it's, you know, it kind of takes me back to like a rough period in my mid 22s, where, you know,
you're talking about the middle of the year when you were 22 years old.
Yeah. It was specifically like the sixth month. Really like the second week of the sixth month.
Really the middle. It was like a Wednesday of that week.
Yeah.
Around noon.
Well, when I was 22, it was, it was about 2003. And, waxing kind of Brazilians, they were all the rage.
And Brazilian, you know, people were all the rage.
Yeah. They were pissed off. They were pissed off.
And they were raging.
And when you're a kid and you're shaving, well, you're not shaving yet, and you're like, you see men in your life, and like, oh, I want facial hair. I want to have facial hair. And they always say, like, if you, the more you shave, the more the hair will grow in, right? And so I was like, you know what? If that logic stands, the three chest hairs that I have on my chest, if I just pluck them like once, they'll grow back, sure. But why?
Well, Brandon, shaving is different than plucking or tweezing.
I know, that's what I thought, and so I decided no plucking at all. No, I'm just gonna go all out. And so I worked in maintenance back then, and we dealt a lot with like epoxy and what have you. And so, you know, I got the double bubble. We call it double bubble because, you know, I had the two different things and you mix it up. That makes it strong.
Yeah.
I got like maybe like 20, 30 packets of this thing because they come in small packets. Right. But you need a lot because my chest is big. You know, I work out. It's big. Just slathered it on.
Again, this was a long time ago. So things have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Long, long, long time ago. I slathered it on and I had a hard time getting that the double bubble epoxy off of my chest. And so I had my friend Matt Lovell, a real guy that I know.
Well, obviously all of this story is 100% true, I'm sure of it.
Well, of course. He's a big guy. He's like Sizemore, a little bit bigger than Sizemore. Sizemore's he is in here, so he'll know.
Oh, don't talk about him.
He's smaller than Sizemore. And then he just stood on my chest and then like with a crowbar was just like chiseling it off.
Off your rock hard chiseled chest.
Yeah, I mean, my nipples are still there technically. They're just under an armored thick coat layer of epoxy. That's the end of the story.
I don't know what to believe anymore, but I like it all the same. Yeah, that's good. You ripple nippled freak,
and that is our show. We didn't
thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you later. I don't know, I feel like there's no smooth way to transition into our first topic, so I'll just do it. And we're talking a lot of TV tonight, and in the spirit of television and talk shows, like this sort of is.
Wait, what is tonight?
I don't remember.
There's a date. There's something with this date is important.
Do you remember the 21st night of September?
Yeah, I can't. there's a YouTube video, and it was on Reddit too, of
yeah,
the 21st night of September, where they just keep repeating 21st night of September, and it's a great video. And I think it was posted last year, and evidently the guy said he was going to do another one this year at 9:21, which if it's Eastern time, it'll be during this show.
So it'll be like during the we'll have to,
yeah,
if it comes out post-show. If you're watching live, hit us up, let us know. Maybe we can watch it together in the post show. But yeah, let's talk about another Disney Plus show. Disney Plus being one of the few platforms that seems to be coming out with new content. We alluded to this show in a previous episode. We're talking about Earth to Ned. This is another Jim Henson production. And again, we're sorry about Muppets Now. If you were scorned, I'm gonna.
It started good. It started good.
I'm a little gassy here.
Yeah.
I am going to maybe be a little bit different and a slightly bit more critical of this show. I'm not just gonna fawn over the show and talk only good things, but. We are talking about Earth to Ned. The basic premise of this show is an alien on a spaceship is sent to Earth to destroy it, but he sort of falls in love with Earth and celebrities, and so instead of destroying the planet, decides to host a late-night talk show from his spaceship where he beams celebrities to the spaceship and then does basically like... a short 22-minute talk show. I mean, that's all you need to know, really. Brandon, I watched, I think, two episodes of this, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna say you have to watch it, but it's an interesting concept. It reminds me a little bit of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, like it has a little bit of that vibe. But after about like the second episode, I was like, you gotta check this out. There were a few sketches that I really enjoyed. I want to know initial, like, sort of first take. What have you thought? How much have you watched? What are your initial opinions on Earth to Ned?
Well, I will say this. I will say that you told me to watch the show.
Hate it.
This it's another example of a show you're like, let's watch this, and I said, I'll check it out someday, and I wasn't interested in checking it out. Every time I passed it, I was like, because I would pass it on the way to The Simpsons, which I watch just about every night for dinner, slowing down a little bit because
he's stopped consuming actual food and he just watches The Simpsons for dinner every night.
It fuels
his soul.
I'm getting to the tail end of season 7, maybe into season 8, and it's going in the quality is starting to shift, and that's a different topic entirely, but anyways, I find myself being like more willing to watch other things. Well, so tonight, because you and I have this thing when it comes to apathetic enthusiasm, where if we don't start the week after we record a new episode, if we don't start the week with a thought of, you know what, we'll talk about this on Monday, then Monday during the day, not even during the day, like Monday late afternoon, early evening, is a scramble to be like, oh, what do we want to talk about today? And today, this topic came up, and then another topic that we'll get into in a second, more a couple minutes. Earth to Ned was, you're like, did you watch any Earth to Ned yet? No, I guess I didn't. Hey, Chelsea, you want to watch an episode of Earth to Ned for dinner?
She's like, do you want to watch a giant Muppet do a talk show?
She didn't know what it was about. I very vaguely knew what it was about up until that point in time. So we watched an episode. The first episode has I was going to say Jimmy Kimmel, but no. Old Conan friend.
Andy Richter.
And
Gillian Jacobs.
Yes. And I didn't really know what to expect from the show that first episode. And then rapidly, the Space Ghost Coast to Coast comparison jumped out. It has what we came up with after the first episode, me, Chelsea, and the 8-year-old, was that's like a more kid-friendly version of Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the later seasons of Space Ghost. The kid watched one episode and we're like, okay, that's maybe
maybe not. Now
go back to Rick and Morty, kid.
you bring that up, and it's a talking point that I want to make about this, because late night television is typically on late at night, and you can be a little bit more risque with your material. It can be a little bit more adult oriented. obviously, like the Tonight Show, like Jimmy Fallon is still pretty clean for the most part. But this is a show on Disney Plus. It could potentially be shown at any time, and it's you don't know exactly who your audience is going to be. So the producers of the show actually talk about the fact Brian Henson is the executive producer on the show. He wanted to focus on making the content family friendly because it was going to be on Disney Plus. And I feel like there is a version of this show that throws that out the window and goes all in on like Adult Swim or some other network.
Yeah.
That could really kill it. But I feel, and there's still jokes in the show that I crack up at, but it's, there is, it does have like a limiter on it where you're like, okay, they're pushing a topic a little bit in one direction, but they could go a lot further. Yeah. They're not going to go there. It's okay. But I don't think that like ruins the show necessarily. I think it could be more.
Yeah. I get you on that piece. It is a PG show when it could easily be a PG-13.
Easily.
Everybody knows without any subjectivity, very objective measurements there with the PG versus PG-13.
Something that has remained constant over time.
Yep.
And certainly hasn't changed throughout the 80s, 90s.
Absolutely not. The 2000s. The original Die Hard is a great indicator for PG-13.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I think, was it that movie? Or maybe it was Gremlins or something like that. Anyway, we'll get into that another time. But no.
Yeah, that's our second topic. We'll get into the Motion Picture Rating Association in our next topic.
The comedy is limited, but I ended up watching three episodes with the family, and Paul Scheer and Kristen Schaal are on the second episode. And Paul Scheer, a lot of folks know him from The League. And other various kind of not crass comedy, but he's not afraid to, you know, be in those types of comedies. Those pieces, you know, again, could easily go further.
I thought Kristen Schaal's interview was terrific. I absolutely thought she was great on the show.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed her segment.
I like Kristen Schaal. I like Kristen Schaal in general. Mabel, I'm glad. And if what a kind of cool thing is my kid was like, oh, it's Kristen Schaal from Gravity Falls. I was like, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. He knows things. He's gonna be like me. He's like, he just knows a bunch of random names and nothing
knows
else.
Knows tons of celebrity names, and then he's gonna have friends like me. He's gonna be like, no, I know the face. Who? What's the name? It's
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise.
Yes, exactly. Yes, of course.
Vanessa Beyer. So yeah, the comedy. I'll say that I'm interested. I looked at the guest list for the rest of the season, and there's a lot of comedians on there. Two different comedians from the state. Michael Ian Black is on there, and Thomas Lennon. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to those eventually. BBA was on there.
Yeah.
So it kind of interesting to me that there's a comedian slant to it. That there, it's kind of just like Space Ghost Coast to Coast, they bring in these random comedians and celebrities to do this kind of this bit, but it's a bit for the younger kids. That's what I was going to say about the Paul Scheer episode. The funniest thing that was there was that Roaster Toaster 3000.
Yes. That Roaster Toaster was terrific.
Cause Paul Scheer is talking about how it doesn't really like, that type of roast comedy, but there's a type of comedy like you're kind of celebrating your friends by being mean to them, And so the co-host, this co-host alien, brings out the Roaster Toaster 3000, and it presses a button, and it savagely roasts the host, Ned. And the two jokes that it said, you know, I don't know this character. I've only watched an episode and a half, and it was so fucking funny.
it was killer. That was a terrific part. And I think that around that moment when I was like, okay, hold on, Brandon needs to at least check the show out. Like we need to have some discussions about the show. I was listening to a recent Comedy Bang Bang podcast with Scott Aukerman.
Yes.
And one of his guests, during the plug bag section of the show where they plug different stuff, she was a comedian who is a writer on the show. And so I was like, okay, yeah, awesome. I didn't really think about like the fact that some modern comedians are like, oh yeah, let's write on this Muppet show. But it's pretty cool. Let's break down the characters a little bit. Obviously you have the titular character, Ned. Ned is, if you haven't seen the show, haven't seen any images from the show or anything like that, Ned is a gigantic puppet. He has four arms. I would argue it's probably like 8 feet tall or something like that. According to Wikipedia, Ned requires four puppeteers and two others for a total of six to operate.
Yeah.
That is,
it's
crazy.
It's nuts. It's, yeah.
he's kind of like, I don't know, he's not super smart. He's not altogether. He's very much like the fanboy with all of these celebrities, very excited to have them on. He's a little, I don't know, he's kind of just winging it. Like he's the type of guy who's like, I'm just gonna start a podcast and has no idea what he's actually doing. So you know, we can relate in that way.
Yeah, we can.
But I don't know, like Ned is possibly one of my least favorite characters on this show.
Yeah, well, he's kind of the straight alien in this the show. All the wacky characters around him, and there's not really that many wacky characters, are meant to kind of bring that levity piece, and he's the butt of the jokes, as the Roaster Toaster would point out. He does say some funny things. I guess I can get into the critique a little bit later, but he's actually not my least favorite character. My least favorite character, and we'll get to the rest of the characters also, my least favorite character is Betty, the AI on the ship.
AI. Yeah, she's a close second for me, possibly. Maybe the first. I don't know.
Well, because whereas everything else is a puppet and it's practically made, the AI is a not, it doesn't seem like a very well-made computer generated image for this yeah. AI, and so it looks cheesy, where everything else is like, okay, it's a practical effect and I can get behind it. This is a CGI face on a screen that there's not a lot of personality there, and of course it's a computer, it's not meant to have a lot of personality, but
although
3PO
like,
has personality
wise Betty is very like, I don't know, crass and like judgmental and sort of I don't know, like demeaning towards Ned in certain ways as the show continues on. So I don't know, like there's some character there, but in terms of visuals, definitely the least visually interesting character on the show.
Yes. Then there is his associate, his assistant, his co-host,
his Andy Richter, his who's the guy that plays the keyboards for Dave Letterman,
Andy Richter.
Yeah, Andy Richter. this is Of course, we're talking about Cornelius.
Of course.
And Cornelius might be my favorite character on the show. He is hilarious. He has some great lines. The sketch that they did where Cornelius went to learn about stand-up comedy and went to an open mic night.
That's the end of the joke.
I died. I loved it because it like he's trying out stand-up comedy and he goes through this whole like phase of like a comedy career in the course of like a couple minutes. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And that's the end of the joke.
That's the end of the joke.
I like him a lot. His alien on the street little interviews. I get a kick out of. Not as complicated a puppet as Ned is, but still has good complexity to it. Because both of these aliens have like eye stalks, and not only is like the muscle tissue around the eyeballs moving, but the eyeballs themselves are moving, and also like the angle of the eyes, the eye stalks are going, plus you have the mouth moving, and then like the facial expressions there. Oh, and then the hands there. Man, there's just a lot of stuff. And so it's impressive that with all those Muppets that the puppeteers are really just in sync with each other and doing the things they need to do to make it, you know, have verisimilitude.
Cornelius does this thing with his eye stalks when he's like making a funny face where his eyes kind of like bug out sideways and like it just gets me every time.
When he's
gets
being sarcastic. Ned's sarcasm face. It's great.
Yeah. So
and then there's the clods.
The clods. Which I didn't realize CLODS is an acronym for Cloned Living Organism of Destruction.
Oh.
They start out as the band in the first episode, and they're just these tiny little weird aliens with lots of little feet and these jagged teeth. They like to sneak up on guests and just show up kind of like around the couch, and often the guests are surprised or startled when the CLOD arrives.
Yeah.
But they're... I don't know. They're just kind of like weird little bonus puppets that are kind of funny to have around them.
Yeah, they are like Salacious Crumb in Return of the Jedi. Or they're kind of just chaotic, anarchistic little rodent looking things that are pretty funny. In the third episode is a Star Wars themed episode. And Billy Dee Williams is on there, BB-8, and the Comedy Bang Bang guy.
Reggie Watts.
Reggie Watts.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of funny things happen in that with one of the clods saying Boyega, Boyega. And then another where these two clods are dressed up as Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and they're like, and then the Obi-Wan clod, and they look so damn silly, is like in a brown cloak, and he's like, oh god, 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 Vader. And it's just there's such gibberish, so and then all of a sudden saying Vader killed me. Anyway,
yeah. Well, I feel like and my main critique of the show is sort of what we spoke to already, but you're not necessarily going to be busting a gut the entire episode, especially if you're expecting more adult-centered comedy. But if you have, you know, younglings around, if you have kids, this could be a fun show to watch with them. It's the three episodes I've seen. I've started the fourth episode, which is about horror. It's their horror episode, so make sure you check that one out, Brandon.
Yep.
But yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's kind of a nice show to just throw on randomly when you got 22 minutes and you're not watching, you know, Emmy Award winning television.
Sure,
you can just kind of throw that on. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I so far I think it's decent. I'll probably watch more before I get to a point where it's like, oh, this is another Muppets now. But not before I see Michael Ian Black and Thomas Lennon. But what I'll say is Paul Rugg, who does the voice of Ned, you might also recognize him as the voice of Freakazoid. And from what I'm told, from what I hear from the father-in-law, is that he's really big on like improvisation and also Animaniacs. He's an Animaniacs too, but you know, sure. Freakazoid more so.
Returning next year on Hulu.
That's right.
Way, Animaniacs.
That's right. So that improvisation, that comedy that comes from improv, I feel is undercut by the child nature of what the show is. And especially you have all these comedians that, you know, it's not that they don't know how to not cross a line, but not only are they put in a show where you're meant to be funny. You're supposed to be funny when you're going on this show, but don't be funny in the way that you are known to be funny. That to me, that is a buffer of like, it could be better. It could be better in that way. Things we've already talked about, but
yeah, I wish they could like do a version of this show that's like, you know, the at night one or the director's cut one where they don't cut out all the jokes that they probably made on set
Space
while they
Coast,
were making this
coast
show.
To coast.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or a Jiminy Glick with a Martin Short.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
the other part about this show that I'm not crazy about is the through line plot of him like trying to destroy the planet and him being afraid of his dad and stuff, and like him doing his mission briefs at the end. I feel like if they just went straight late night talk show and ended it at the end of that, I'd be totally fine with the show. I don't know that other part of the like reoccurring mission log does a whole lot for me personally.
Yeah, it's trying to have a storyline associated with it, so it's still a show that people want to tune into next. Well, what's going to happen next? I don't think this is going to be an Emmy winning award show, but
no, I don't.
But I can
maybe visual effects.
Maybe maybe a visual effects thing. We'll have to check next year when Emmys 2021 are there, if they're there still and it hasn't burned to the ground.
Yeah, if the earth is still here and there are still people with eyes to watch TV.
If the Mayans were like, did we say 2012? Ah, you got the two and the one mixed up. Yeah. Everybody does that.
Yeah, turn it around. You got to turn it around.
It's actually not Mayans. It's Snyam.
Yeah. Anyway, that's one awkward transition later. We're talking Emmys. Emmys.
Get it? Because it's Mayans
weekend.
Backwards. I'm not sure.
And Brandon and
it's Mayans backwards.
We were texting all day. We put on our gowns, put on our tuxedos, and couldn't wait to watch the Emmy Awards live on television. None of that happened. In fact, I don't think either of us watched any of this production.
The Mayans would have called it the Cime.
you're just sitting on that joke, waiting.
No, I haven't been done with that. The Snyam. Think it's
the Snyam rewards.
All right. Now I'm done. I got it out of the way.
This is the year of COVID. This is the year where all live events are awkward and odd in different ways and shapes and forms. And they decided, let's have a television award show amidst everything else that's going on in the world. So they hosted the Emmy Awards this weekend. Jimmy Kimmel was the host. It was on ABC. There were combinations of live guests as well as lots of celebrities tuning in via Zoom or whatever broadcasting system that they have for different presentations. And I didn't watch any of the actual show itself. I watched a few clips. which I will say,
none.
This format actually makes it a little bit better for like YouTube clips where they're just like, yeah, just show this award or show this. Like, I don't know. It kind of worked out. You did what, zero research for this, right? Yeah. Did you watch any of the actual production or see any clips?
Well, no, that's not totally true. I got some research done by osmosis through scrolling through my social media. I knew going into it that there's an article that talked about how a certain amount of media kits were sent out to various individuals who were going to partake in the show, and how that is the way things should go. It's a turning point in like this distance piece of showing up. If you're a big media company, it behooves you to, you know, here's a 2x2, here's an audio interface, here's a microphone, here's good lighting, here's a, you know, ring light or whatever. Send it to folks for them set up. And I know some podcasters who have money, who make money, and they're very guest oriented. They do that type of stuff. We'll never be like that. But I did see that. That was interesting to me. Saturday night, obviously, Rick and Morty won for the Vat of Acid episode.
That's right.
And whether or not I do any research for the Emmys itself, I do research for Rick and Morty stuff, or at least follow the feed and try to get their PR head to talk to us. But
did you watch any of Dan Harmon's acceptance speech?
I didn't, but I laughed because if you're a fan of the Dan Harmon social media minute, you know all about Dan Harmon's woodworking.
and
that's it. We'll talk about that. We're gonna have a new episode of International RSS here in the next week or so, and that we'll definitely have that as our
it'll be there. And Vat of Acid episode, still my top episode from the last year, so I'm very happy that it walked away with the best animated show Emmy. Other things that happened, other I don't know, points of interest, I guess, from the award show. I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel gave a monologue. I guess they broadcast from the Staples Center. They did have guests at the Staples Center, but it was like mostly empty at the arena, so there was like a little bit of like real-time feedback, but it seemed like, I don't know, even in some of the stuff I watched, it like it didn't come across that way. Like certain jokes weren't getting laughs. Not necessarily because they're bad jokes. I just don't think there was the audience to support them.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
You have one guy going, in Cape Fear. It's just Robert De Niro doing his cigar laugh in the movie theater for everything Jimmy Kimmel says.
So let's get into a little bit of the events of the show. We'll talk some winners. Winners and losers. I have a question for you. Have you ever watched Schitt's Creek?
I have watched some Schitt's Creek. Whenever Chelsea's watched through it twice now, and I periodically would walk through the living room and see her watching it. And if I was doing work on my laptop or doing this, that, or the other, it would be in the foreground or the background, wherever, away from me, and
it would be on the ground somewhere,
and yeah. I would be watching it, and I would enjoy it, and I feel bad for Chelsea because she's like, if you want to watch the show, just watch the show. Quit asking me questions about all the characters that you watch. Like, what happened to him? Wait, he's gay or he's not gay? Why are they in Schitt's Creek? You know, that type of stuff.
What's the meaning behind the name? So they used to be rich, but now they're poor? Like, how did that happen?
Wait, who's Chris
Elliott?
Just watch
the pilot, Brandon, and shut up.
Wait, Chris Elliott is... Oh, he's the mayor of Schitt's Creek. Oh, okay. All right, I'll try to remember that for later.
But does he work at the hotel, or is he a guest? Like,
yeah.
Oh, do they own it? anyway,
it's a from what I've seen, and I've watched multiple episodes. I do like the show. As a huge fan of Christopher Guest, Eugene Levy, and Catherine O'Hara, although I didn't sit there and watch the entire series, I could sit there and watch an episode and just and enjoy their performances.
Absolutely, which my experience with the show is almost identical to yours, with Sheena watching through the series and me walking into the living room and being like, "Huh, what's happening?" You, David. All right, let me. Yeah. And then walking out and be like, "All right, well, time for me to go to bed. I'll see you later." funny the things I have seen. A show that has had several seasons.
Yes.
But has just now had its final season.
Yeah.
And consequently cleaned up at the Emmys, winning, nine Emmys for its sixth season. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Eugene Levy for Outstanding Lead Actor in Comedy, Catherine O'Hara for Actress. Dan Levy, Eugene Levy's son, as a supporting actor, supporting actress, Annie Murphy, who plays their daughter. Yeah. Cleaned up.
Yeah. And then Dan Levy also won for writing, directing, and producing as well on the show. Very, very interesting. My wife was actually telling me that this was sort of a pet project for Eugene Levy and Dan Levy. Like they wanted to make something together.
Right.
And so they didn't have much of a budget. So this show has always worked under tight constraints. But it's also helped them to do some very creative things and to have some different challenges. I'm a huge fan of the, you know, Best in Show, The Mighty Wind, you know, those types of movies.
Yeah.
You just get some of this cast together. I'm like, all right, I know there's going to be some solid stuff in there. And it's good to see them give a show a lot of recognition when it's like their last chance. But sort of just as a note on media and television, do you feel like it's good that shows get recognized in their final season, or like, do you feel like other shows are missing out because, oh, like Schitt's Creek has been a big show. It's gotten a lot of attention from people. A lot of people enjoy it. It just hasn't been recognized on its own. And now that this is like the last chance for it to be eligible, let's just throw a bunch of awards at it. Like, I don't know. Do you feel one way or the other about that? Or because it's not like movies where you get one shot and then it's gone.
Right.
A lot of shows have, you know, multiple seasons and are on for a long time.
Well, I was trying to go back and look at the lead actors. We'll start with the lead actors for the show. So Black-ish, Anthony Anderson, Don Cheadle for Black Monday, Ted Danson for The Good Place, which was in its final season.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas, Kominsky Method, and Rami Youssef for Rami. Schitt's Creek and The Good Place, those were the only two that were in their final season for this. Sure, it's a very narrow example. And doesn't actually answer your question at all, which is do I think that should in its final season? In one way, I think it minimizes like how good a show is in whatever season if they only recognize it in its final season. If they only recognize it, the fabulous Marvelous Miss Maisel is on here a couple times, and I know that won an Emmy last year, not in its final season at all. Like, great, cool. You recognize it in its first season. Now it's in its second season. Now if it wins again or wins next year, then great. Schitt's Creek, by all accounts, has been great from the first season to its final season. And, you know, awarding it is cool. Good job. You did it finally. See you later. But
yeah, and
I don't know. I guess I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Like
it's a perception,
I guess. What's that?
It's a perception thing, right? Like
yeah,
like a good job, like a pat on the butt, like in
good
the,
game, in, good game with your with having six seasons of a good show or whatever. Yeah, like I think that especially for TV recognition, it is a lot different from like, you know, live theater or movies where you have one production or you have one like initial go at it and you take everything from that 1 year and you're like, all right, this is a locked in amount of time where we can recognize things that were made and this was the best of it. Whereas the Emmys, you can kind of, TV is more persistent. Unless it's a dramatic miniseries or a documentary or something like that, right? Where it's something short or it only comes out for shows that are on for multiple seasons. I think they have a little bit more play where they can say, you know what, we're not just recognizing their sixth season or a particular episode of the sixth season. We're recognizing an effort over six seasons. And this person, yeah, you've been great throughout and haven't had an opportunity to be recognized. Let's take this chance to make sure that, you know, we say, good job. You've done it.
Which is why the announcement that The Walking Dead is going to be coming to an end. I mean, they're going to sweep so much comedy, drama.
I'm shocked that show is still on the air.
Horror. Yeah, they finally announced that they're going to end it.
But isn't Daryl getting like his own spinoff or something?
Yeah, but you know, then we can stop watching it at that point. Just kidding. We stopped watching.
Stopped watching it so long ago.
Whenever I talk to my friend Gary at work, he's like, "Hey,
Gary,
you see the last episode of The Walking Dead?" I'm like, "Gary, I told you I stopped watching it a long time ago. Like, as long as I've known you, I have not watched the show." He's like, "Oh yeah, well, you could have just said that. Like, I just did."
I say it every time, Gary. I say it every time.
He doesn't watch this, so he's old. He's old. He's got in the late 40s or maybe he's 50. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's old.
Good old Gary.
He's probably asleep
right
now.
Good old Gary, loving his Walking Dead. still carrying on.
Anyway, so Schitt's Creek. I mean, it swept the Emmys. A record-setting Emmy sweep, as a matter of fact. So
yeah, it won every award, even awards it was not nominated for. other big
best
winners.
Best animated series. What?
Yeah, best animated series. Schitt's Creek. big news from the. Let's see. What is this category? The best actress in a drama, Zendaya, winning. The youngest winner ever in the category, and she's 24. She was up against Jennifer Love Hewitt,
Jennifer's body,
Olivia Colman, Sandra Oh, Laura Linney, and Jodie Comer.
Yeah.
All of those people were up for the award.
Some powerhouse women.
Yeah. Have you watched Euphoria at all on HBO?
Nope.
Neither have I. Let's play a little game we like to call shows on HBO that Brandon and I have not had time to watch yet, but Succession. Are critically acclaimed and have won many Emmy awards. Euphoria, neither of us have watched. Succession. Have you watched it?
I have not watched it.
Not a minute of it.
Big Little Lies.
I've watched every episode. It's a terrific show.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
it's great.
Okay.
It's great. It's one of those ones that I like watched with Sheena and like we both enjoyed. It's got stuff. It's good. Watchmen.
Watched it?
Yes, we watched all of it. We talked about it on this show and it walked away with a couple of awards, four awards actually for Watchmen, including Damon Lindelof picking up best limited series.
Good job, Lindelof. Finally a winner.
And it was a big night for Dr. Manhattan's as two different portrayals of Dr. Manhattan, both recognized in different categories, walking away with Emmys last night. So Little Fires Everywhere. That's not HBO. That was on Hulu. But I also watched that. Another Reese Witherspoon show.
There's a couple shows on HBO Max that are coming out too. Well, these aren't award winning, but they're coming out that are getting props that I will probably not watch either by the time they're winning awards.
Have you watched any Ozark?
I watched the first three episodes and then I moved on.
Oh, that's right. And then you're like, I've done this. Julia Garner winning supporting actress for Ozark. And Bad Education was a television movie on HBO. Haven't seen it yet.
There's a lot of stuff out there. And then, you know, we're looking at the major categories with the exception of animated series. And there's winners behind the scenes, the ones that aren't as, you know, publicized. Congratulations to all of those folks that we're not going to talk about here, because otherwise you're just going to hear us blather on about people that you're like, what? Who? What show is that?
What? I will say Mandalorian on Disney Plus won quite a few special category Emmy awards, including like visual effects, score, things like that.
Okay. I can get behind the score. Yeah.
Season two of Mandalorian is right around the corner. We're like a month away from it. What are your feelings approaching season two?
It's like season two of Umbrella Academy. I'll watch it someday.
I will watch way more Mandalorian season two than I watched of Umbrella Academy season two.
Yeah, we talked about Mandalorian on the show before. It's not that I thought it was a bad show. I just thought it was very, very contrived for a majority of it up until episode seven and eight when the pace picked up again. It was like, you're supposed to be a badass again. This is my central complaint about the show. He's supposed to be this badass Mandalorian and he keeps getting his ass kicked for five episodes. And we're supposed to be like, oh, he's still badass. Like, no, he seems incompetent is what he seems like. and then seven and eight roll around and then he gets better.
I feel like based on the trailer, Mandalorian season two is finding its rhythm as a television show, where it'll be, you obviously you have the child, Baby Yoda, right? And the Mandalorian is trying to deliver the child back to the Jedi or whoever his people are that he's supposed to be with. And so I feel like you're gonna get a steady pace of episodes where they're somewhat self-contained. He's traveling to different planets, different areas, and gets into a little bit of trouble. Somebody's chasing him, somebody's looking for him, something like that. And so you're gonna have these different locations and things like that. I'm excited for it. Oh, yeah. I am considering rewatching season one leading up to the release of season two for Mandalorian.
What I look forward to more than watching the show itself is finding out the lore that it introduced in at the tail end of the season with, I forget what that type of lightsaber is called, but the dark crystal lightsaber, the black lightsaber.
Yeah.
And how that guy got that saber. The dark saber. There you go. How we got that, because there's lore behind that, where that saber came from, which harkens back to the Mandalorians and the whole thing with the Jedi and the Mandalorians having been in a war against each other, and now they, you know, this guy's trying to deliver a Jedi to, you know, to the other Jedi. That's interesting. And then, you know, the rumor mill says that Boba Fett is is cast and it will be in this season. I'm interested in if that is true, because the last time we saw him, he was eaten by a Sarlacc pit. But
yeah, canon, he's not in a great spot.
Canon states that he survived. Well, I take that back. Canon used to state that he survived in the extended universe. He got out, but regardless, yeah, we'll see. But this is an Emmy talk.
Yeah, Emmys. If you like the Emmys, let us know. There were some good speeches. I've watched a few of them on the interwebs, but you should go watch those for yourself. You can watch the unthanks speech from the producer of Succession with, I think it was the final speech of the evening. That's Emmy talk.
That's it.
We usually do an Oscar special. I don't know if Emmys will be a reoccurring thing, but frankly, we didn't have a lot of other stuff to talk about this week. So
frankly,
unless you wanted to hear us talk about Fall Guys and D&D again, this is what you get, guys. This is what you get. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you for hanging out live. We are going to scoot on over to our live post show for the folks on Twitch and YouTube. If you want to be a part of that post show, make sure you're here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern for the live feed. And thanks to everybody that hangs out week in and week out. If you're listening on the audio portion,
yes,
and you have yet to write a review for this podcast, that's something you could do with your time. You could head over to Apple Podcasts on that cool iPhone that you've updated to iOS 14. And once you figure out the changes in the podcast app, you can leave a review for us. Let us know how you think we're doing. And to everybody else, thank you for your support. Really, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Tell a loved one about this show. Let them know, hey, there's these two guys I listen to. Sometimes they're funny. You should check it out.
If your loved ones aren't your friends, still, that means you have way more people to tell. Shout out to everybody who follows on Twitter. I know you already said this, Travis, and YouTube. Omar mentioning a little piece of news. Won't talk about it too much because we've got to put a little bit more thought into it, what this actually means. But Microsoft buying Bethesda, that seems to be a pretty big deal.
It's the Halo Doom mashup we've all been waiting for.
Oh my god. PS5 memes all over the place. Xbox Series X.
We are approaching a very potentially contentious season in gaming.
It's time to have an episode dedicated to console wars, Travis.
Meow, 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 meow. And I'll be over here with my PC upgrades, wishing I had a new 380. A video card or something like that.
It's okay. Just there's a payment plan, $25 a month. You get Xbox Series One X.
For real? That's a thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on our Console Wars episode.
Yeah, or maybe in this post show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, I'm Travis
and I am Brandon. Toodaloo.
Bye.